We are here this morning to celebrate Easter, to celebrate some baptisms, so that's exactly what we're going to do. Our breakdown of how we do messages is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be giving a short talk from Colossians chapter 2. That's where you guys were just at a few minutes ago. And Pastor Corey is going to be giving a short message on Romans chapter 6 about baptism. For Paul here in Colossians chapter 2, his main argument for these believers is to walk in accordance with how they received Christ. Baptism is the great symbol and picture of what happens when we are transformed by Christ and the gospel. He connects baptism and circumcision with the overall importance of doctrine and salvation. He does not want them, these believers, to fail the test. Like any good teacher preparing his students for life beyond the classroom, Paul's desire for the Colossians is that they live in accordance with what they believe. He is reminding him of what their lives in Christ look like. He uses this phrase, in him, or a variance of it, 15 times in this letter. This idea of being in Jesus is incredibly important for living the Christian life. We cannot even claim to be Christians if we are not in him. It is through Christ that we are made right with God. It is through Christ that we live and we move and we have our being. Here in the text, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, In him we have been circumcised. In the Old Testament, God used the physical act of circumcision as a way to identify which people were his. Now, in the New Testament, physical circumcision is no longer necessary. This circumcision that we have in Christ came without hands and reveals our putting off of the body of the flesh. This is the circumcision of the heart, of the inward, of the stuff that cannot be seen. This is the inward change that happens to us when we turn from sin and to Christ. This morning, I had the privilege of leading one of our new members' classes that we had for the very first time this morning. And one of the things that we talked about was repentance. What repentance actually looks like, it's not enough to just turn from sin, but it's turning from sin to God. If you do a 360, you're just going back in the same direction. But if you do a 180, if you're going this way and then you turn 180 degrees, you're going to something else. So that's what repentance looks like, is that we turn from sin, we turn to Christ for forgiveness and life. Christians no longer live under the power of the flesh, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul moves straight from circumcision and into baptism. This is one of the reasons why we are gathered in this place today, is to celebrate baptisms. Baptism for the believer is the physical sign that reflects an inward reality. Baptism is a physical sign that reflects an inward reality. It is the symbol that we have been buried with Christ in his death. It is also the sign that we have been raised with him to follow and obey him for the rest of our lives. This circumcision, this baptism, were the result of God having made them alive with Christ by forgiving their trespasses. They were dead in their sins. While they were not physically dead, they were spiritually dead. They were unable to do anything about their spiritual condition. At one point in our lives, maybe this is you in this room this morning, all of us were spiritually dead. There was nothing in us that we could do to make us right with God. There was no rule that we could follow, no good deed that we could do, nothing that we could give back to him that would earn our way back to him. That's because our sin was so great. Sin, simply, is missing the mark of what God desires for us. It is our disobedience to what he has commanded us to do. The greatest commandment that we have ever been given was to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and all of our strength. The second greatest commandment is like the first. We are to love our fellow human beings like we would love ourselves. All of us have not obeyed those two simple commands perfectly. Therefore, we face the consequences of our actions because God is holy And he cannot stand to have imperfection near him. Because God is holy, he must punish sin. To leave it unpunished would make him an unjust God. Left to ourselves, we will face the consequences of our sin by being separated from God eternally in a place called hell. But God, who is rich in mercy and kindness, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the perfect sacrifice for us and our sin. He lived a perfect life, completely obeying all of God's commands, but was punished for us. He was unjustly accused, tried, and condemned, and killed on a cross. While on the cross, God poured out all of his anger over sin on Jesus. Jesus died, but thanks be to God, he rose from the dead 3 days later. This means that because Christ was the full and complete satisfactory sacrifice for sin, we can now live in right relationship with God again. By turning from our sin, accepting Jesus' sacrifice for us as a gift that cannot be earned, and trusting in that exchange as our only hope of salvation, we can be made right with God. By turning from our sin, accepting Christ Jesus' sacrifice for us as a gift that cannot be earned, and trusting in that exchange as our only hope for salvation, we can be made right with God. God forgives all of us of our trespasses through Jesus Christ. Christ takes on the punishment that we deserved and gives to us righteousness in life. Because there is a cross, you and I do not have to face judgment. Because there is an empty tomb, you and I can be forgiven. Because Christ is alive, we have hope that we do not have to face God's wrath one day. There are some of you in this room who do not have this hope because you have never turned from your sin to Christ for salvation. Because there is an empty tomb, we baptize people who have chosen to live their lives in obedience to Christ. It's not just about escaping hell. It's about living as a follower of Jesus every day of our lives. Any person can say they believe on any given day. Baptism is the sign that is given to us that unites our lives to Christ's death on the cross. It is also a sign showing how we will be dedicated to him above all else, all the days of our life. Because he is rich in grace and mercy, we dedicate our lives to him. Pastor Corey? I'm turning it over to Pastor Corey right now.
I stand here in the baptismal waters this morning on Easter Sunday, 2018, as we gather together in worship, reminding one another that Jesus rose early in the morning on a Sunday morning. The story is taught in Luke chapter 24, and the entire chapter is on the day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Three women went to the tomb early that morning, and the angels said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" They returned to the apostles, who were gathered together in a room, and reported these things to them, and the apostles were so concerned, distraught, disbelieving, that they didn't want to accept the women's testimony. In the middle of Luke 24, there's the story of the two men who are on the road to Emmaus, leaving Jerusalem. And Jesus came and walked with them. When he walked with them, they did not realize who he was. But when they stopped towards the end of their journey, he said a prayer of thanks for the bread as he broke bread with them. Their eyes were open and they realized this is Jesus. Now the women and these two men had seen that Jesus was crucified on Friday. And here they were together on Sunday, and he was in their presence, alive with them. These two men also likewise went back into Jerusalem, where the apostles were gathered in the room, and shared the testimony that they saw Jesus alive. Even then, the apostles were slow to accept and believe. And so in the end of Luke 24, it is recounted in the Holy Scriptures that Jesus appeared in the room. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus appeared alive early Sunday, on the third day after they crucified him. Friends and family gathered here today, Jesus is alive. And all who cry out to the Lord in faith are forgiven of their sin. I'm not sure I can think of a better way to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than by having baptisms on Easter Sunday. And so there are five people who shortly now are going to be sharing with us their testimony through Christian baptism that they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What an Easter gift. What a blessing. You see, Jesus, in a parallel passage to the Luke 24 passage in what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he gave his Great Commission to the Christians that has now lasted for 2,000 years plus to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. That message has made it thus far to this place, and us gathered as his people. And there are five more today who are proclaiming to us that they have received that message, and they have believed in Jesus, that they have confessed him as their Lord and Savior, and they profess him as being alive. They no longer want to live for themselves, but they want to live in the newness of life that is only found in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul gives us one of the clearest definitions of baptism, which I'd just like to read for us as a scripture reading. And then without further ado, you know, I mentioned to our church that I wasn't going to preach my usual long sermon. But that doesn't mean that preaching is not happening today, because five people are about to preach to all of us. The Apostle Paul in Romans 6 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Therein that passage is the reasoning, the teaching for why we baptize the way we do. Today you will see all five in full immersion as adults. Now, there's some younger kids but they're old enough to have received the Lord Jesus on their own to make a decision to believe in him. You see, but after they believe, they then follow in this teaching. So as the person goes under the water, it represents them dying to themselves, crucified with Christ. And as they are raised out of the water, it represents that they have new life in Jesus Christ. Sister Bonnie, would you please come and share with us?
Good morning. Christ is alive. And he's alive in me. He didn't used to be. I began by having a marvelous career. And it was a speaking career, actually, in the real estate business. I began by teaching law, doing what's right. And I added to that teaching our ethical code, which specifically tells realtors how to behave in the business with their customers and clients. And I made it my thing in the real estate business to teach the agents how to provide a service rather than making a sale. It's a service-oriented business, and I lived for it. Providentially, God put me there. I didn't know God at that time. I knew God. I did not have a relationship with God at that time. But he put me there. He carried me through that career, first on the local level, then on the state level, then on the national level, and some in Canada and in Mexico as well. And I lived for it, and I loved it. 26 years. At the end of that time, I had an opportunity to join a brokerage firm in a leadership position, which I thought would be a great way to go out and retire by implementing some of the things that I had been teaching for 26 years. So I joined that company, a marvelous company, solid, strong, large company with many gifted agents. So I was thrilled to be a part of that company. Shortly after I became president, however, the owner of the company asked the entire management staff to make a decision about how to handle a certain sect of brokerage firms in our community. I was opposed to the decision. I was the new kid on the block. I wasn't strong enough, and perhaps I wasn't in the right position. I had accepted a job that I shouldn't have been in. The rest of the management staff agreed that it was okay to do this. So my weakness allowed everyone to, now I don't know that I could have made a difference, but I did not voice my opinion. So the new policy was implemented. Because of my position, I got to implement the new policy. Now, some of these other agents from these companies were ones that I got into the real estate business. I taught service. I taught them the ethics. I taught them how to behave in the business. They felt I'd turned on them because the decision was harming them. I lived for 3 years in that leadership position, going to work every day pretending everything was fine, and I was dying inside because of my guilt and my shame about making a decision or letting people think I had made a decision that was totally against my ethical code and my value system. After 3 years, I could no longer do that. So I resigned, I retired, I went home, and I laid on the couch in a fetal position most of my time for 3 or 4 months, coming up on the Lenten season. As the Lenten season approached, someone asked me if I would help at the church that I used to belong to with the Seder Supper. I didn't know what that was, so we met to talk about what the Seder Supper was. One of the first things that was mentioned was the salt water with parsley or celery in it that some of you remember from the other night. I thought, oh my gosh, not only is that salt tears, but it's also ground in the wounds of Christ as he was being beaten and flogged. How odd that that came into my mind. I had been to a funeral earlier that afternoon from a woman who lived the real estate business. She serviced her clients that she lived to service those clients and make them happy in their new home that they were going to be together in. It was her life. She was told she had 2 weeks to live. So the pastor was telling us at this service, he said, so she told her husband, honey, go home and get my clothes. There's no reason for me to go back there. Take me to Clarissa Cook and go get my clothes. And I thought, how can she do that? How can she give up what she loves so much and be ready to die? I don't get that. All the way home from those two events, these were mulling in my head. I didn't understand what was going on. It was all so confusing. I got home and I stood in my dining room, and in my four-season room, I saw a vision big as life of the Roman soldiers beating and flogging Christ. That's the way I'd felt for 3 years. He was being beaten. Not just for that one sin that I had done for 3 years, but for every sin that every one of us has ever done. Imagine. I just fell to my knees and I began repenting. It all came so clear to me. Jesus died for my sins before I was ever born, and I was laying in a fetal position when God gave me gifts to be using. I started crying. I started laughing. It was such a joy. I had no fear of dying any longer. I had no fear of anything any longer. Just pure joy. Christ entered me at that point. I was reborn. All I want to do now is read more of the Bible, digest it. I want to tell everybody else about it. I want to go do for the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. Thank you.
Sister Bonnie Gray, upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Woo! Katie and Pastor Brett will be stepping into the water.
This is Katie Paris. Katie? Do you believe that Jesus is God, equal with one, the Father and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that he is the Savior of the world?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that Christ Jesus died on the cross for your sin?
Yes.
Do you believe that he is the only way to salvation?
Yes.
Have you publicly prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I have.
Do you promise to live your life in obedience and love to him?
I do.
And based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, Katie, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ.
We have a few more baptisms that are going to be taking place here in just a moment. Pastor Corey is going to come back up to do those. So they're going to be walking up the stage just now. So praise God for his gospel message for baptisms that are happening here at FBC Bettendorf. Let's give God praise again for what's happening.
Can everyone see Allison? Yeah. This is Allison. Allison, do you believe that Jesus is God, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you believe that he's the creator and the savior of the world?
Yes.
Do you believe that he came to the world as a man?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Has there been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to save you from your sins?
Yes.
And here's a really important question. Is it your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life?
Yes.
Even when things get hard? Mm-hmm. You know he's always with you?
Yes.
Okay. Allison, upon the profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Woo! Good. This is Kaylee. You can wave at everybody. Kaylee, I'm going to ask you the same questions because, you see, in each person's life, we all must come to a personal decision whether to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so this is a very important, beautiful time of your own testimony. Okay? Kaylee, do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
One with the Father and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
That he's the Creator and Savior of the world?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus came as a man?
Yes.
That he died on the cross for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that God rose Jesus from the dead?
Yes.
Has there been a time in your life when you prayed to Jesus to forgive you of your sins?
Yes.
Amen. Is it your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life?
Yes.
From here on forth? Every day?
Yes.
All time?
Yes.
All right. Even if stuff might get hard?
Yes. Okay.
Kaylee, upon the profession of your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Gabby, you can stand on here. There's a little stool. There we go. We're going to turn this way so we can make sure your mom gets a picture too, okay? Yeah. And Gabby, I'm going to ask you the same questions. Do you believe that Jesus is God?
Yes.
The same, the one with the Father and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
The Creator and Savior of the world?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus came as a man?
Yes.
And that he died on the cross for our sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Amen. Has there been a time when you personally prayed to Jesus to save you from your sins?
Yes.
And is it your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life?
Yes.
Amen. Gabby Amaya, upon the profession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Okay? Dios te bendiga. Dios te bendiga. Truly, the Lord has brought his gospel to all nations. Happy Easter. He's alive. Anybody else want to be baptized? The water's here. It's warm. Okay.
We thank you. We thank you that you're a risen King. We thank you that you have conquered death and hell. We thank you that you've given us newness of life. We praise your name this morning. We give you praise and glory, and we want to be like those who said in baptism to follow you all the days of our life. We pray a blessing on everyone who is here. We pray a blessing on those who couldn't be here. We just thank you, Lord, and we pray now that we will go and celebrate you again the rest of the day. Please bless everyone in their traveling mercies, and we just give you thanks and praise and glorify yourself, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.